The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Elaine Kirby writes me this morning about the inauguration. Bill, will Trump be president on the 20th without a formal inauguration? The vote has been certified. Technically, everything has been done except the inauguration, which is the official swearing in. So if you don't get sworn in, are you president? I don't believe so, Elaine, but I can't say that I'm the best constitutional scholar, but it would seem that part of the legal process would be you have to have the swearing in. You're not official until you're sworn in, which is why we even have these swearing in ceremonies of our local officials, whether it's mayor, county commissioner, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Appreciate you emailing Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Bob Hart joins me right now. Bob Hart lives in Rogue River. He is a retired land use planner, or not a planner, but you are an advisor, right? A consultant of some sort here. Bob, welcome back to the show. Good to have you on.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
All right. And I imagine you have a lot to say here about the attack which has been brought against us here in Southern Oregon, having to do with the fire maps, the wildfire risk maps. And the letters have been going out via certified mail, although even that's kind of a weird certified mail. I was ended up talking with a mail person yesterday saying there was a special deal cut so they could get all of those letters sent to property owners and that they would technically be certified mail, but yet they didn't have the sign for it. It kind of a weird thing going there. I don't know if there's a legal play to be made on that. But a lot of folks are hot and bothered over this. Do they have reason to be, in your view, as a land use consultant?
Absolutely. You know, this is no better than the first map that came out. You know, they did a little bit of tweaking here and there, but it's really the same problems that they had with the first map. And when everybody came out as in opposition, they pulled it back, said, yeah, we kind of jumped the gun on it, so let's go back and fix it. Like I said, there was a little bit of tweaking for agricultural irrigated land, but it didn't change that much. The biggest problem from my perspective is there's really no way to verify anything that they did. I've gone through the information that they sent, which is minimal. It's basically a bunch of forms and some propaganda saying, here's our things that you can call us and we'll help you. Mm-hmm. But to get further into it, then you've got to go online to their wildfire website and download your property owner's report. And then you start looking at everything that's in there. And it's, you know, nice, pretty pictures, but it still gives no real data. And there's a place on the property owner's report that says the publicly information that's available is at this download site. So I went to that download site and downloaded their information. And it's a lot of computer files, and I clicked on them to open them up. And it says you need some kind of a program to open it. And when I went to that, they said, well, there's no program available. So
that's really interesting. So they're not putting information out on an easily readable document or PDF, some kind of form that most anybody would be able to take a look at. So you need a specialty program to be able to look at the data? That seems weird. Very odd.
That's what it appears like. And when I talked to them before and said, you know, where do you get your data? They talk about this commercial program that is supposed to figure out fire issues.
In other words, it is modeling information. It's not people going out and surveying the ground. It's a computer model of sorts, from what I hear.
Yes, it is a computer model. And when I asked them about, you know, the specifics, they said, well, we've done thousands and thousands of these computer models, and that's how we came up with our final findings, is through this generation of computer modeling.
Okay. Computer modeling using what? Do you know what the input used is for that?
No. because that's the issue that I'm trying to track down, is what information do they have, and it's not available to me or anybody else in a user-friendly form, because the statute requires four criteria to look at it, weather, climate, topography, and vegetation.
Okay. Well, how can they even make a judgment call on vegetation? Because vegetation is probably already or always changing, or am I wrong about that assumption?
It is constantly changing. I know I look at the air photos of my property here, and trees have been cut down that I know I did, and it doesn't show up, and they're not using the latest and greatest information. When you talk to Jackson County, they said that they looked at the information that the state had provided to them, saying, you know, here's what we're looking at, and mm-hmm. the county came back and said, you've got the wrong number of tax lots, you've got structures in the wrong location, and vegetation isn't as it currently exists.
The other aspect I would think that it weakens the state's case here, Bob, is that the way this map was done, if I understand it correctly, with the hearings and all the other stuff, according to Mr. X, Ed, a listener who is a pretty good legal researcher around here, is that this was done by volunteers with the Oregon State University system. And that this is not even a professional group or a professional organization which was hired to do this, or am I wrong about that too?
Well, when the bill was adopted by the legislature, it assigned Oregon State University as the entity in charge of preparing the map in conjunction with the Oregon Department of Forestry.
Well, that sounds really nice, but what expertise does the Oregon University system have when it comes to wildfire fighting and prevention? I mean, it's a reasonable question to pose, isn't it?
Yes, it is a reasonable question to, you know, and they've got their professors that have, quote, their experience or expertise in the field, but nobody I know of, when questions have been asked, have you been out fighting fires? Do you know anything on the ground? And they know they didn't have experience of being actual firefighters, but they've talked to people that have done it.
Oh.
So that's what it all is just, you know, consensus.
All right. Well, we've had a lot of criticism of the consensus process brought in by the Oregon University system into many aspects of our government. That is for sure. Bob, and all I know is that listeners are coming unglued. They're writing me. They're wondering what they should be doing, you know, about this. And
okay.
Do you, and how would, could you take us through the process of what it would take to appeal? I noticed, though, before we go to that, that if you are a corporation or kind of like a bigger boy, you have to appeal using a lawyer, but regular property owners can do it themselves, I suppose, right?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay.
Yes and no, and let me explain that. The as you said, the bigger boys, corporations, businesses, LLCs, they are required to have an attorney. If the property is in a trust, you have to use an attorney.
I would imagine there are many rural lands, maybe farms, things like that, that would be in a trust. Would that be fair?
Yeah, farms, a lot of times people put their trust for taxing purposes or for, you know, looking at how to put things outside of a will, but in a trust to avoid death taxes and transfer. So there is a requirement you have to have an attorney for a trust. I brought it up to the Wildfire Advisory Council. They said, oh, that is an issue, but it never got changed or fixed, because when SB 80, the quote, course corrections from SB 762, when they adopt Senate Bill SB 80, that is when the appeals process was required to be a contested case, and it put it into a very legalistic system that's covered in ORS 183.
But from what I understand and explain, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Bob. By the way, I'm talking with Bob Hart. He's a retired land use consultant from Rogue River, and a lot of people upset with the fire maps, courtesy of Senate Bill 762, and even after the Senate fix, like Bob was talking about. Correct me if I'm wrong. These are administrative courts, so these aren't even, you know, constitutional courts, really. These are administrative law judges that you'll be going before that are, in essence, hired by the state. And won't they essentially have their thumb in favor of the state of Oregon in what they want to do here?
Well, like you said, yes, they are hired by the state of Oregon. They are administrative law people, so they aren't from the Department of Forestry or people that are hired by Oregon State. It's out of the administrative office, but it's still a legalistic system, and it's supposed to be based in criteria and a lot of the technical issues, because one of the things that really started the whole ball rolling in a wrong direction was when people figured out that if they had their property all cleaned up and there was no reasonable expectation of a fire, say there was no house and it was paved, you'd still be in the high fire danger area and there's no way to get out of it. So
it would seem then that heads they win, tails you lose. In this wildfire letter appeal kind of process, the way the law is written?
That's the bottom line. Yes, they've stacked the deck in their favor, and it's going to be difficult. But hopefully the legal system of the United States will prevail, because what I'm going to do when I appeal mine is not based on what I've done for my defensive area or home hardening or anything like that. I'm going to say they did not follow the statute in how they did this, because it's supposed to be transparent and based on science, and there's only those four criteria. And when you read their information here, they said, oh, it's consistent with that criteria. It doesn't say that it is based on that criteria, because there's nothing in the record, and that's one of the foundations of this, is what is the evidence in the record that it's based on weather and climate and topography and vegetation?
What you're telling me then is that the state of Oregon's fire map strategy is a simulacrum of law. It's a law that just has the appearance of law, but not the
correct
law, but not the law in reality, not based in law in reality.
Right, because when you read the information that they sent out, it says, here's where we get the number. It's based on burn probability and fire intensity. I found one number in the information that was online, but I didn't find the mathematical calculations to come up with their hazard number or value to get the rating. So when I try and ask them, give me the information, they say, well, here, we used all that, and that's in these computer simulations, and we've done it and had peer reviews of it with professionals in this fire community. So we're confident that this is reality.
All right. This sounds very much to me, Bob, and it's just an opinion of mine. I'm not an expert on these kind of things. Land use or wildfire fighting. But this reminds me of the computer models that they would always talk about with climate change, global warming. Am I wrong to kind of see how this seems to be rhyming a little bit? Like, you know, we can't prove it, but, you know, our model says that this is what we can expect in the future.
That's my take on this whole thing. The other part that this is reminds me of is the Wizard of Oz behind the green curtain, pulling the levers. There's really nothing back there except somebody that is big and powerful in driving people away.
All right. Bob Hart once again, and he is a land use consultant, retired land use consultant from Rogue River. We appreciate his acumen on this one. I want to be clear that you are going to appeal your ruling or the ruling that the state had on your particular property, but it sounds like you are challenging the process. Is that what I'm understanding? You're actually calling out the process then.
Yes. Saying that they do not follow state law because you have not put evidence in the record that is available to the public, and that is in the statute, is that it has to be transparent and understandable to the public. I don't care what the professors say. I, as a member of the public, need to see their work.
Well, you need to see the work. You need to see the formulas. You need to see the empirical evidence, in other words, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't tell if there's a mathematical error when I can't see the basic evidence or the information that they're basing it on.
All right. Bob, I appreciate that. Bob, would you be willing to talk to a few people about this, too, and just maybe just – I know we're all kind of just – we're working without without a clear vision of how to move forward here, and I'm trying to get out of the fire smoke that seems to be thrown up. Before we take the break, and then we'll go to some calls here, is it worth at this point getting involved with the legislatures? Like, I know that Senator Golden, who, of course, is one of the people that was the key sponsor of this bill on the Senate side, along with Pam Marsh on the House.
Right.
He's having a town hall meeting tomorrow. Is it worthwhile at this point, or is this just so baked in the cake you can't do anything about it?
Well, people thought that when 762 was adopted and when people came out of the woodwork and said, this isn't right, they withdrew it. And I'm hoping the same thing would happen because I haven't seen anybody that's really happy with the whole process.
All right. And so,
there's some other things that, I want to cover a little bit here. In the contested case requirement, it says you have the opportunity to ask questions of the people, pointed questions. And then when I talked to ODF yesterday and I said, who specifically can I talk to answer my questions? They said, the way this whole thing works is you put in your appeal form and raise your issues, and then the administrative law person will decide if you can ask those questions of the university or ODF or whatever experts they use.
You're kidding me. They will decide what questions you as a citizen are allowed to ask about your fire map rating? Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll decide whether you can ask the questions or they just off the wall and don't have any basis. So, because I won't raise the issue at all about my defensive space because that's not the criteria. The criteria is where is weather involved, where is climate involved, what are the issues that you use to talk about the vegetation and the topography. Because my land is flat here in Rogue River. I've got trees across the road and a hill behind me, but my property is clean. So what vegetation issues numerically are involved in the calculation of my fire hazard? Because when I look at the letter that they provided me, they said, I'm a real overachiever here. I am in the top one half of 1% of high hazard. It says only 0.54% of the properties in Oregon have a higher hazard value than I have.
Boy, you are a high achiever. Bob Hart, retired land use consultant with me. Bob, is there anything else you want to cover this morning before talking to a few listeners or anything else?
If we don't appeal, then this thing is going to keep going. So we need to appeal whether you're going to have success or not. The state and Jeff and Pam need to know that the people are not happy. Because when you look at this whole program, and in the bottom line of it, nothing in this program that they've proposed would have had any effect on the Alameda or the Obenchain fire. Absolutely nothing.
But I can't help but think that the real goal is to have Senate Bill 762 having control of that property for the future. Is that a fair theory here?
Yeah, because LCDC hasn't come in with their final proposal, because I can see the handwriting on the wall as if you're in high fire danger, it's going to be awfully difficult, if not impossible, to put a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the real goal. I think that's the real goal. And this is something that is worthy of bringing up with Senator Golden. Hey, Bob, hang on, and we'll take a quick break here, talk about some great businesses here, and then take some calls, and we'll continue on here, talking with Bob Hart, retired land use consultant on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit washbuggyautospa.com.
Hi, this is Cassie from Clouser Drilling. Drill, baby, drill is a statement that might conjure images of gushing oil, and almost everyone could agree we could use more of that. But at Clouser Drilling, we think of the liquid essential for life, flowing water. So while we can't help with the cost of fuel, we can help you source water for your family, garden, and livestock for years to come. For a new well or underperforming wells, call Clouser Drilling for a no-obligation assessment and estimate. And drill, baby, drill. Find out more at clouserdrilling.com.
Looking for durable and custom-fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in metal roofing. With two portable snap-lock machines, they pull right up to your door, allowing them to custom-cut every panel for a perfect fit. With over 18 years of experience, they serve Jackson, Josephine, and Curry counties, offering reliable roofing solutions tailored to your needs. Licensed, bonded, and insured for your peace of mind. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com today for your free estimate. CCB number 250730.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. Provided by Dish.
Quality fences, doing it right for you.
Postmaster steel posts are engineered to have the strength of steel without sacrificing the natural beauty of wood. Our posts offer longevity and performance for uncompromising value. Perfect for the do-it-yourselfers, starting at the low price of just $29. Quality Fence in Central Point and Grants Pass. Visit QualityFenceCo.com.
Quality Fence is doing it right for you.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Bob Hart, retired land use consultant, is with me this morning. We're talking about the fire map issue and the appeals process, and how the process seems to be stacked, in which heads they win, tails you lose as a property owner. And this does not seem to be something right. Bob is talking about actually challenging the process on this in his appeal. Let me talk with Brad. Brad, you're on the Planning Commission, right? Yeah, we're the planning, Jackson County Planning. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, Jackson County Planning Commission. So Bob raises some really good points on the procedural side. This is where I remind you what you already know is, if you look at the climate-friendly, equitable
community.
Climate-friendly, So again, it was the governor's issue of the executive order, which had the impact of law, but the legislature – so that the good thing about this is that it's actually a law, which means the legislature can modify it or mitigate it if they want to. So at least it's not administrative. Bob raises some very serious procedural issues, but here's something else that you and Bob may want to discuss. Because it also makes reference to the building code side, it's Oregon Revised Statute 455612, Building Code Standards for Wildlife Hazard Mitigation. if you look at the text in the letter that everybody got, it says, if you're a homeowner, you don't have to do anything right now. But here's the other part of that. Oregon revises their building code every 36 months, and it would not take much of an imagination to think to yourself, well, 2 years, 3 years from now, if the building code division decides to make this stuff mandatory, or if you can't sell your property unless you do these things, there's going to be one heck of an economic impact down the road not too far.
In other words, you're talking about the time bomb of the building code since it's built into this law, right?
There is a gigantic time bomb built into this, and nobody's looking at it because it doesn't hit right now.
All right. That's a really interesting statement. Did you realize that, Bob?
Yes, I can see that. Just like right now, this stuff only applies to people that are in the high hazard area and within the wildland urban interface.
Yeah, the WUI.
I can see somebody strike out WUI and just say, if you're in high hazard. So at the stroke of a pen, it's going to affect hundreds of thousands more properties.
By the way, these letters only went out to high hazard in the WUI, right? Just to be
That's correct.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I ended up looking up my own property. I'm within the city limits of Medford, so they're claiming that I'm a moderate impact. But if you were to cross Foothill, not too far from where I live, then you're into the high world, you know, that kind of thing. So let me go to John. Hey, John, you are on with Bob Hart. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a little different, well, sort of the same perspective.
Okay.
I consider mine as very high hazard, and I've done what I can to mitigate that. And I understand that. I take my own responsibility. But then the other part of it is I consider that I do not own my land because if I don't pay taxes, I don't have my land. And on the same thought, will I be able to live on my land as a human being, as a right to be a human being and to live on my land as the government continues to infringe on our rights?
What would you say to that, Bob, what John was just mentioning there? It's an interesting thought-provoking.
It's always a concern as we've looked at things over the years from land use perspective. You know, people come to me, you know, that they want to do things with their property. I tell them, don't put it off, because every time we turn around, the rules always get tighter and tighter and tighter because they're taking more control. And it's only if the people will rise up and say, you know, enough. This is supposed to be we the people, and we are not supposed to be beholden to government. They are supposed to be our
servants. Well, you know, apparently the way this is sounding with this wildfire mapping situation, it's supposed to be we the people, not we the state university, that we're supposed to be dancing to the tune. And it's we the state university right now, from what you're describing, Bob. You know, it's what a bunch of kids and professors end up coming up with a computer model, and you can't see the data. I mean,
right.
This reminds me very much of people wanting to look at the software of voting machines, right? And you're told, oh, it's proprietary. Well, you can't see this sort of stuff. Just trust us. The numbers are good. You know, that kind of thing. It's bizarre. Appreciate the call there, John. Larry's in Grants Pass. Hi, Larry. You're with Bob Hart. Go ahead.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Bob. Yes, just in reference to what I believe to be the conversation that I got the tail end of here, I just got what appears to be a certified letter, which is not that. It's just a certified letter. It's a clear envelope.
Yep, a lot of people have been getting them right now, Larry. Many people have been calling.
So yes, that's all I'm bringing to the page. I just 11 front and back pages, 22 pages of garbage. The front page appears to be very serious thing if you have a piece of property, and as I'm sure it is, nobody really takes a look at this, but I'm familiar enough and I'll say opinionated enough that this is just not in the world we live in, not surprising that this kind of a letter is being mailed to homeowners
Well, the one thing I would say is that, it looks like a lot of blah, 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 but I would warn you here, Larry, that it's as serious as a heart attack and its implications.
Absolutely, Bill. I'm not diminishing that fact of the matter. I realize that. I'm aware enough about this stuff and have an opinion enough that
Yeah, did you have a question for Bob though while you're here?
No, nothing at all.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing your opinion. Yeah, you're in good company. Yeah, with a lot of folks right now. Let me go back to the phones. Yeah, what was that, Bob? Go ahead.
I looked up on the Postal Service website to double check on the certified mail.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it on the Postal Service website, it says this is to guarantee that the sender knows that the letter went out. It's not required to be signed for. It's not a registered letter. It's not return receipt requested. It's just certified, so it provides a record for the state saying that we mailed you a letter.
Yeah, we notified you. We notified you of how serious this is. If for some reason you were in the hospital and didn't notice it and it got thrown away, well, too bad for you. Sucks to be you, in essence, is what happened.
Yeah.
So they're claiming that this is almost like legal notification, which it really isn't. It wouldn't be, I don't think it would be accepted in a court of law, but we are talking about administrative rules, which means that there may be a way lower standard, wouldn't you say?
Because we do have the OARs that are involved in here, Section 629 of the administrative rules that provides a lot of this stuff, and that's always the problem. And time I talk to one of our elected representatives, I said, we have to stop these administrative rules. We're supposed to be a country of laws and not a bunch of edicts from a ruling class.
Now, here's a question I'd have for you, Bob, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll take a few more calls, and then we're going to have to wrap because we're just out of time for the show.
Sure.
And that is, can our local governments appeal this and stop it?
Yes. The statute, I read it specifically. It says the property owner and local governments can appeal. So I started talking to at least one county commissioner here in Jackson County, and I'll be talking to one in Josephine County next, because it says specifically that the local government can appeal the map.
And can you appeal the entire map for the entire county, being a county representative, let's say, if the Jackson or Josephine County or Douglas and all the other ones get involved?
It's not specific if it's a blanket or if it's property by property. It just says the local government and property owners.
Okay.
I would conclude that if you give the authority to the county or local government to appeal, that it would cover everything in their jurisdiction, which is everybody.
Yeah, that would make sense. Not just county-owned property, out there.
Correct.
That's what I was kind of wondering about, okay? All right, we'll be right back with Bob Hart. If you are on hold, we will get right back with you. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your water, no one's monitoring what's in your water. It's up to you to be sure that the water you and your family are drinking is safe and free of contaminants. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for a full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the Rogue Valley's spray-on bedliner leader for 20 years running. We are excited to upgrade our spray-on bedliner product to Legacy Protective Coatings and join the fast-growing nationwide network of dealers. Our new Legacy bedliners are the latest innovations and improvements in spray-on bedliner technology. Stop by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority and let our seasoned team of professionals give your truck the protection it needs with a Legacy spray-on bedliner.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
The guys at Fontana Roofing are stoked about the expansion of their metal roofing division. Well, at least most of them.
Ain't gonna lie, with a major investment in a second metal roofing manufacturing machine, Fontana is now a full-blown, serious metal roofing company.
Very true. We weren't dabbling in it to begin with, but with five different panel profiles and 27 color coatings, we can produce a roof in just about any application. But how does this per-
Plus, we now have a machine dedicated for pickup and delivery of roof packages for contractors and do-it-yourselfers, and another mobile one where we produce and install on-site.
Yeah, that's great, but how does this affect my
plans for your company party with a famous metal band? That's history.
How about a pizza party? Maybe rent Steel Magnolias?
Let me check the budget.
Stay tuned to hear if the team gets a pizza party or settles for donuts and coffee. Either way, Fontana Roofing has the capacity for your next metal roofing project. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
The Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is online. To find out who won gold and silver medals in over 200 categories, visit the website and flip through the magazine online. You can also sort by category and learn about Southern Oregon's best, such as Oregon Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, Southridge Builders, Drake's Paint and Supply, and Sherm's Food for Less. Congratulations to all the award winners from Bicoastal Media, publishers of the Best of Southern Oregon magazine. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
By the way, remember the 14th annual Wipeout Hunger Drive over at Kelly's Automotive is on right now. All you got to do is bring in 40 ounces or more of peanut butter, 10 or more ounces of jelly to either the Grants Pass or Medford locations. They'll put a pair of brand new windshield wipers on your car valued up to $35, and you're helping, of course, feed the hungry too around here in Southern Oregon. And all this week, all the donations up to $500 will be matched by Midland Empire Insurance. Very nice. Means your donations are doubled, okay? Kelly's Automotive Service and Midland Empire Insurance, making a difference out there, and it's certainly worth your time to help out, okay? Bob Hart, retired land use consultant with us this morning. We're talking about the wildfire map, and let me go to Jerry in Eagle Point. Jerry, you had a question for Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I've got my land. I got 52 acres, west of or east of Ashland, and I put it into a trust for tax purposes. And the way I'm understanding it, I have to have a lawyer to be able to appeal it.
And that is true, right? That is right, Bob, what he
that
just said?
That is correct.
So he has to have a, you got to have a lawyer. Sorry.
Okay. Now, also, too, the way I understand this thing is if I cut every tree to the ground, get rid of every bit of brush, I would still be in high risk.
That's correct. You could pave it and you'd still be in the high risk.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see, Jerry, follow the science. It's from the same people who told you to follow the science, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right. That does appear to be what's going on here. Diana. Hello, Diana. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning. A couple different things. First, I wanted to say I agree wholeheartedly with Mr. Hart when he says that people should appeal, because an appeal can be like a protest. You know, you're appealing and you're saying these are my objections, and even if they've decided maybe you can, they can't answer or we're not allowed to ask those questions, it's still a way to protest. Another thing is I'm still going through 1,400 pages of Smart Growth Legislative Guide by the American Planning Association that came about around the year 2000. It is a comprehensive agenda on smart growth land use. I would really recommend that I could get the information to you so you could post it so people could see it. And I will be doing a presentation next month on this.
All right. Very good, Diana. Sorry about that.
The fire maps are a way to get people off their property and get them in the cities. That's what they want to do.
Diana, thank you for the call, and I don't think you disagree with that, Bob, right?
It's about not at all.
Okay. And let me go to Wild Sam and Steve. Steve, you're on with Bob Hart, land use consultant, retired.
Hey, Bill, if something smells, there's something rotten, right?
Yep.
Okay, if you get that map and scroll into the most granular view that you can get and then move around the map, you will find individual tax lots that are one or two levels lower in the fire hazard, and it's by tax lots. Now, how can a tax lot completely surrounded by another, another category of fire hazard be different? Even though they say if you pave your property, it would still be the same. It makes no sense.
What would you say to that, Bob? It's an interesting point that Steve brought up.
And it's part of the algorithms of the programs they're using, because part of the issue of how you're being categorized is not just your property, but they look at property within a mile and a half and see what the vegetation and topography is there to figure out what's the probability of the burn and the intensity.
But you're not allowed to look at the calculations and the math that they come up with for these numbers, correct?
Right, because we're too stupid to understand it, I guess.
Uh-huh. Or else maybe they would realize that it's really Oz at the controls here, Bob. We're practically out of time now, so we're going to have to just kind of start working this at this point. Do you think that
the deadline on this to file an appeal is March 7th?
March 7th. So that's the time that we're looking at now. And you're going to appeal. You're appealing the process. Do you agree with Diana that practically everyone should just appeal, if nothing else, almost like a Cloward Piven, where you just kind of take the system, where you just overwhelm them with this? I don't know.
Yes. Yes. Because until they find out how much people are affected and how many people are opposed to this, they're just going to keep going, a big juggernaut, until somebody puts a stick in their spokes, and having more people appeal is the best way to do it.
All right. Another question I have for you, Jeff Golden having his town hall tomorrow, and what would you ask him if you had the opportunity to ask him a question about this? I'd like to. I'm going to see if I can get him on the program. I haven't talked to him in years because I'm just not much in agreement with him. But, it's his bill that has led us to this point.
Yeah, I've talked to Jeff at length on a number of things. What I'd ask him now is, why is this so complex that nobody can see how this thing works?
And if we can't see how this thing works, we're supposed to be governed by consent of the governed. Obviously, mm-hmm. We're not consenting to this, and yet they're doing it anyway. And you can't see the math. And even the laws, state law is supposed to be understandable by regular people. You're not supposed to have to be an attorney to understand what they're trying to do here.
Or a PhD.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that. I'll see if I can get him on the program, okay? I appreciate your call. And, Bob, great having you on, and stay in touch. And if there's anything that comes out of a lot of left field that you'd like to make sure people know about as you appeal, please get in touch.
I'll give you a call.
All right. Thank you very much. Bob Hart, retired land use consultant from Rogue River. It is 8:56 at KMED.
Rain is synonymous with the Pacific Northwest. While we love the rain for many reasons, your home may not. That's where Terra Firma comes in. Pooled or standing water is a breeding ground for mold and rot, compromising the very structure of your home. But the water doesn't have to do damage to your home this year. Terra Firma foundation systems are your waterproofing experts. If you notice wet basement walls, musty odors, or sweaty windows, call Terra Firma and schedule a free evaluation today. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173547.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I'm always going to tell you what I think the best deals are right now. And what I got going on this month is discounts and leasing. Right now, I've got a 2024 Escape that Ford's offering a $4,000 customer cash rebate, and I'm discounting it $2,700 for a total savings off the original MSRP of almost $7,000. Leasing is awesome right now on both my Broncos, my F-150s. For example, I can work a lease deal on a 2024 Bronco to get your payment down to only $273 a month. A new Bronco for $273 a month? Only at Butler Ford. If you're looking for a good used vehicle, I got those too. Ford Blue certified vehicles, any make, any model. Buy with a factory-backed Confidence of Ford warranty. Whether it's a Toyota, a Chevy, or a Ram, come see us today at Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 minutes down the freeway in Ashland off of Exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, your EV, and of course your savings.
36-month lease with 5,000 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number TR59710, and selling price of $31,500 after all rebates and discounts. Escape stock number TR59789. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit.
Who's ready to kick the tires and light some fires in 2025? Good Guys Guns has you covered. Whether it's a new AR, Gen 2 bolt gun, Ranger carry pistol, red dot, or thermal optic, they've got it. And if it's not in stock, they'll order it, and you'll have it in just a few days. Every firearm purchase includes their exclusive background concierge service at no extra cost. 33 years in the Rogue Valley, and Good Guys Guns still has the lowest prices and best service. Visit Good Guys Guns at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue. Good Guys Guns.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED.
All right, tomorrow, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. I'm going to reach out to Senator Golden. I haven't talked to him for years. Haven't been much in agreement with what he's been doing. But, you know, this wildfire situation is big, and I'll see if maybe he can come on the program and talk about it. And I'll be respectful about it, but this is huge. Tomorrow, he is actually going to be at a town hall meeting, 5:15 to 6:30, and that'll be at the Medford Library if you wanted to go. Okay, we'll see about that. See you tomorrow.
Start your morning right at Artisan Bakery Cafe. Try their ham and cheese, turkey pesto, or bacon, egg, and cheese croissant. Enjoy a classic bagel sandwich with bacon or sausage.